In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, speaking of Jesus. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Jesus, and without Jesus was not anything made that was made. In Jesus was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Jesus said that John the Baptist was the greatest of all the prophets. He was not the light, John was not, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which shineth, with which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, Jesus, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. We're at the beginning of teaching on the Lord's Prayer. This is actually message number three. And I'm not in a hurry. We haven't even got into the psalm. We just got into the introduction. I'm going to read Luke chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. And we're going to go a little further this time with that. And it came to pass, as Jesus was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples to pray. Now, I want you to get this. I'm going to read half of the next verse, and I'm going to teach on that. And Jesus said, okay. When you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven. Everybody say, Our Father, which art in heaven. Now, we're going to look at that right there, that first part, and I'm going to explain. You know, years ago, I thought, why did that say, Our Father, which art in heaven? What, you know, that seemed kind of, but you have to understand this. Mankind has three potential fathers, okay? Now, first one that we want to look at is your earthly father, of course. That's one of your fathers, and we're going to show you some things about that in just a moment. Let's look at Matthew chapter 23 and verse 9. Now, I'm going to try to bring some light to you on this. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 9. That's the wrong place, I think. Let me show you what we do. This thing right here made everybody a Bible scholar. I already looked this up. Matthew 23 and verse 9 says this, Call no man your father. Now, that could be offensive, or that might be, what does that mean? You know, with, of course I'm going to call somebody Father. Well, I didn't say it. If you have a red letter Bible, that's written in red. These are the words of Jesus Christ. This is what Jesus said on the subject. Call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father, which is in heaven. They asked Jesus, would you teach us how to pray? And Jesus said, yes. And he said, it starts like this. And really, to get the full grasp of this teaching, you've really got to be a thinker. And he said, all right. When you pray, say, our Father, I'm asking you to do something different. I'm asking you to make this very personal in your own life. This prayer is the most accurate, powerful prayer in the entire Bible. It's given to us by God. See, there's a Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, in Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, the word says God created the earth. And then, I'm just going to go through a few things that, and in verse 3 there, God said, let there be light. And in verse 9, God said, let there be dry ground. In verse 11, God said, let there be vegetation. In verse 14, Genesis 1 and 14, God said, let there be stars and the sun and the moon. In verse 20, the word says, God said, let there be fish and all kinds of things in the water. In verse 24, God said, let there be animals. But I want to show you something. In Genesis 1:26, the word says, let us. Let us, who? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. And so that's the same God as Genesis chapter 1. God created the heaven and the earth. Same God. But there's a light revealed there. And the light is God is Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. In order to unlock the power of the Bible, you have to be taught, you have to learn somehow. It took me many years to understand this here. And what I'm saying to you, if you want to grow in the most powerful prayer in the Bible, does it cover everything? No. But it covers some very specific, powerful things. You want to pray it like this. My Father, my Father. See, you want to make it personal. My Father, which is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give me this day my daily bread, and forgive me my trespasses as I forgive those who trespass against me. And lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. And you have to understand something about words in the Bible and words in the natural. Satan will thwart words and twist words. And that's how come Jesus was very specific here, who he said you should call Father. Now, let me look at this again here. Matthew 23 and verse 9. Now get this. Call no man your father upon the earth. for one is your Father, which is in heaven. That's a very offensive today to people. What does that mean? I got a good dad. Well, you'd have to take this a little deeper, because what he's saying, that word Father there means the one that you're going to bow down to, the one that you're going to worship, the one that you're going to make the center of your life. And he's saying no person should be the center of your life in this world. Oh, you complete me, bull. Oh, you're my north. You're my north star. Oh, gosh. You had me at hello. Well, praise God. That all sounds good. But the truth of the matter is, and then they all fall apart. Apart, apart, apart. Because it's nonsense. It's foolishness. I'm telling you, there's a place in God's Word. It's in every Bible. It's in the Methodist Bible. It's in the Catholic Bible. It's in the Assembly of God Bible. It's in all true Bibles. These verses I'm reading. Call no man your father upon the earth. For one is your Father, and he's in heaven. So the first thing the Lord is teaching us is when you pray, you make sure everybody knows who you're praying to. Well, who's everybody? The devil, too. And God, too. Who are you praying to? Now, why is this important? Well, let's look at John chapter 8. Starting at verse 38, I'm making a point here, and I feel no responsibility to hurry up with this. My biggest responsibility here, and I've done this as long as I've done this Wednesday night service, is to get you out here at 8 o'clock. Because statistics say people, they just, if you're going to give it to them fast, for God's sake. Don't get in there and write a four-page song to get a point across. Spit it out. That's what I try to do. John chapter 8, these are the words of Jesus. I'm going to begin reading at verse 38. Follow with me. I hope you have a Bible. And I know that 37 says, I know you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. What he was saying, they had no idea what he was talking about. The best scribes, none of them had any idea what Jesus was saying. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now, verse 40, you seek to kill me, a man that has told you the truth, which I have heard from God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. They said unto him, we are not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. And then Jesus said this to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word, you are of your father, the devil. Now, everybody look at me for a moment. Everybody that is born in this life, the first time you are born, and Satan is your father. Whether you like it or not, that's what's scriptural. Satan is your father. Okay? That's why we got to be born again. Jesus told one of the greatest teachers, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then he said, unless a man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Well, Jesus, what are you saying? Do I have to go back into my mother's womb? Had no idea what he was trying to say. No, everybody needs to be born again. If a person's not born again, they're not going to heaven, no matter what they say, no matter what they think. I buried a bunch of people, thought they was on the way to heaven. They might have been. I looked at the fruits of their life. It sure didn't look like that to me. I mean, I don't know. I didn't say that at the funeral. There's been a few people, maybe one out of every 10, that I've said, I believe this person's in heaven. I recently did that with Charles Jackson. I've known Charles Jackson for almost 40 years. Charles Jackson was a deacon in this church for a long time. Charles Jackson was received correction. He would receive molding. He would turn the other cheek. And you know what? By his fruits, I don't know, but I believe Charles Jackson's in heaven myself, personally. Okay? But the reason that we don't like to pray is because nothing happens when we pray. You know how come nothing happens when we pray? Because we don't pray right. We don't pray the right thing. What if the next 10 things that you prayed about, God answered you? That would revolutionize your life. And if you learn how to pray, you've got to make it not your sideline, not your Sunday thing, not your Wednesday night thing. It's got to be your thing. Jesus is my thing. Jesus is everything to me. I don't call anybody else Father, but my Father. Jesus said some very specific things about God not only being his Father, but because of his finished work on the cross, he's our Father. Okay? And some of the things we're going to get into in this is this. We've got 25 more minutes. If you get this prayer, the devil doesn't want you to get it. I guess we're being recorded. If you get this prayer, it is an outline for many things. Not all things, but many things in the Word of God. And it came from God himself. Because there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. One of the things that Jesus said is, when I'm glorified on the cross, you won't ask anything for me. You're going to ask my Father. That's how come when he taught his disciples, said, well, teach us how to pray. John the Baptist taught his. Okay, when you pray, say, my Father. Everybody say, my Father. See, unless this becomes personal to you, unless your walk with Christ becomes personal, it's not worth anything. It actually looks foolish in this world full of sin and entertainment and hard rock music and this, that, and the other. Call no man on the earth Father. I had a note here. I think it was on this subject. The scripture where Jesus says, call no one your father on earth, for you have one Father who is in heaven, is found in Matthew 23:9, where we are. This verse is warning against placing undue spiritual authority on earthly figures, not pastors, not this, not that. This verse is warning against placing undue spiritual authority. Now, when you're calling your dad, you're not making him, that's not making him spiritual authority over God at all. I don't think there's a problem with saying, if you call him Father. My girls call me Dad, most of them. Evan calls me Papa. Just don't call me late for dinner, like everybody else says. I'll throw in on that. This verse is warning against placing undue spiritual authority on earthly people and emphasizes that ultimate reverence and allegiance should be reserved for God alone. That's what we're talking about here. I dare you to do the simple thing I've asked you to do and pray the Lord's Prayer and make it very personal by saying, "My Father." See, how many of you are born again? See, if you're really born again, can I tell you something? He's your Father. Amen. He's your Father. There ain't no other Father like Him. And this, if you learn this prayer, I know somebody that doesn't want you to learn it, know it. That's the devil. But if you learn it, it holds the key to many things. And the things that it doesn't hold the key to, the Lord's Prayer leads into those things also. But we can't be dumb and dumber. Well, I know whole denominations that say, don't try to read the scriptures for yourself. We'll tell you what it says. That's funny because in the book of Acts, the word says that the Bereans, when Paul preached, they went home and studied the scriptures and see if he was telling what was right on. And if your life is precious, that's a good thing. And if your afterlife is even more precious, it should be. Because this is, you know what? I never thought about living to be 73, especially when I was a kid doing all the rotten things I was doing. I was in a motorcycle gang in San Jose, California. We had to go to the Hell's Angels, the president of the Hell's Angels there, to get permission to fly our colors. What did we do? Terrible things. What kind of things? So bad I don't want to talk about them. Terrible things, stupid things, dumb things. But in the summer of 1971, Jesus saved me, and I didn't find Jesus. Jesus found me. See, Jesus was not lost. I was lost, okay? And I feel like I must be one of the dumber ones because it's taken me so far to grasp and understand the little bit that I grasp and know. But I'll tell you what, the little bit that I know has changed my life in this life and the next life. Before we ever started this church in May of 1987, when Kelly was 2 years old, we were living debt-free. We've lived debt-free ever since. And you know why? It's a good thing, because people try to threaten you. They want what they want. I've had people say, "I don't want you preaching about abortion." I said, "Well, are you going to be able to come Sunday?" And they say, "Yeah, we'll be there." Well, I'm preaching on abortion Sunday because abortion is nothing but cold-blooded murder. Yeah. Now, can you get forgiven of that? Yeah. Is there big sins and little sins? Some people say there are. Some people say that they're not. You know what I say? I ain't saying because I don't know. Is there bigger ones? I don't know. Is there smaller ones? I don't know. What's the best thing to do? Try to stay away from as much of it as you can. This is communion service. Every Wednesday night, we take communion, and communion is all about revitalizing your walk with Christ. And I know people that take communion every day. That'd be the thing to do. I've got no problem with that. It's the ones that only take it once a year I'm a little concerned about. Because if you read 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it says a person should examine themselves and then let them eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Okay, examine your life. Be thinking about your life. What is it that God's working on in your life? You should know that right up here, and you should know that right here. Oh, God ain't working nothing on me. I'm fine. Well, I don't think so. And I ain't either. I'll be fine when I die and I wake up and Jesus has got his arms out for me and he says, "Come here, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Come over here and let me hug you." Hug me. You're going to do a whole lot more than that. And the city has no need of the sun nor of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God lights it up. And the Lamb of God is the light thereof. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You know that there's no more pain when you go to heaven. There's no more tears. I'll tell you another thing. There's no more death. Well, bless God, they died. We all die. Yeah, we all died because of sin. That's why we die. Adam was told, every tree in the garden you can eat out of, even the tree of life. But the tree in the midst of the garden, that is the knowledge of good and evil, do not eat it. Because in the day that you eat of that tree, you will surely die. And they ate of that tree, and the word says their eyes were opened. What does that mean? All of a sudden, their five senses were opened. See, they walked by faith, and they walked by the Spirit in the garden. But when they did what they weren't supposed to do, Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1, now the serpent was the most subtle creature in the garden. Adam was put there to dress it and keep it. He was supposed to kick the serpent out, but he didn't. He let his wife get a good measure. Did God really say that you'll die if you eat of this tree? You're not going to die. You're going to be just as smart as God. Their eyes were open. Their five senses were open. They no longer were moved and made their decisions by the power of the Spirit. They made their decisions like a coyote or a bug or anything that can see, hear, feel, taste, or smell, by the five senses. And that's all most people do. They don't make decisions. They're incapable of making decisions by the Spirit, a lot of people, because they just, I don't know. I don't want to, I'm not accusing anybody of anything, but why does the church have the same divorce rate as the outside world? I'm going to tell you, the biggest gift I got in this life was my wife, Millie. August the 10th, we'll be married 51 years. My one and only wife lived next door to me. She loved me from the moment she saw me. And she helped me save my sister's life, my little baby sister, so I broke down and gave her a date. Well, then I dated her again. And I swear to you, night after night, the Lord would wake me up. Now listen, you young people. He'd say, Angelo, I want you to marry that girl next door. That's who I have for you. That's who I want you to marry. You know what? I listened. I married her. I didn't marry Millie for the same reasons that I did the nasties with a lot of other girls. I did it because God told me. I heard his voice. Why did you hear it? I don't know. I don't know how. I ain't nobody special. But 51 years later, she was the only one that could put up with me. I've never seen such kindness out of one person. And out of all the wonderful things God has done for me and given me in this life, the first is my wife, Millie. And you know, if your heart's right, you don't have to marry the wrong person. If your heart's right, if you do it for the right reasons, if you have all the info that you need, and if you hear the voice of God. You know, there are some decisions you should not make in life until you hear from God. And if you can't hear from God, it'd be better. There are some decisions, it'd just be better not to be married.
Yep.
If you marry the wrong person.
Yep.
How many of you know at least 75,000 people that are married the wrong person? I got two hands up, so that's 150,000 for me, okay? And you know what? I've made so many mistakes, and I tell people, Tanya, I did my best sinning after I got saved. I was only 19 when I got saved. I was a sinner. I was terrible. You know what I learned about God? He's my Savior, not only on my good days. That's what I learned about God. That's what I learned about God. On my bad days, on my shameful days. You kids right there, if I was you, I'm not kidding. I wouldn't marry somebody until I heard God. Well, what do I do? Well, what are you crazy self going to do? Are you going to sleep with them, I guess? I don't know. And repent for it? It'd be best. I'm telling you. You want to mess your life up? Marry the wrong person. Yep. Have to get a divorce, okay? Start again. You know, the average person can only afford to be divorced about 2.5 times in a lifetime. There's just too much to it. There's just too much. Is this offending somebody? Because if not, you know what? Maybe I ain't preaching it the way I should. Because I'm serious about this prayer. This is God the Son telling us how to pray on about 6 or 8 very important topics in our life. And one of the things, I just read you the verse. He said, call nobody father, not that kind of father. You've only got one of that kind of father. It's either the devil or it's God the Redeemer. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. There's no other choices. You can say you're this, that, or the other. It don't matter what you say. If you don't know God, your father is the devil. You were born in sin. David said that in the Old Testament. You were born a sinner. You were born lost. You were born in need of a Savior. That will preach in any denomination in the world. I'm not into denominations. I'm going to do a pitch for what I think is right. You know why? Every denomination says this: we've got it all. Everybody else is wrong but us. You know what I am? Let me tell you something right now. I'm just a Jesus person with a Bible in my hand. That's all I am. I don't want it. I'm not word of faith. I'm not charismatic. I used to think I was until I seen some of the shameful things that those people do along with everybody else. Let me tell you, I'm just the person that's born again by the grace of God, and I'm grateful every day. The older I get and the closer I get to my last time behind this pulpit, I realize I don't know how I lucked out, but I asked Jesus into my life. And after, I think this is message number 3, we finally got to the first 2 words of the Lord's Prayer. You know why? Am I trying to be a smart aleck? No. It's full of so much power. It's full of so much of what we need. I've learned quite a bit of it. Do I know it all? I don't think anybody does. But I'm going to tell you what. If you'll let me, I'm going to teach you what I know. And what we know has been a blessing to us. And we love God. And I've been young, like David said. And now I'm on Social Security, like I say. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Let me tell you something. Whatever a person does, God's going to pay you back. If you do good, God's going to pay you back. Nobody, including the devil or anybody or your worst enemy in this, can stop that from happening. And if you're bad, Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 9 says this: be not deceived. God will not be mocked. Whatsoever somebody sows, that's what they're going to reap. And if you sow to your flesh, the Bible says it's so bad, you reap a tornado of repercussions back on you. But if you sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap eternal life. I'm going to tell you, I don't know any Christian of any denomination, whatever, that doesn't sin. in this life. You know, the greatest thing about heaven? The devil won't be there. Amen. The tempter won't be there no more. Amen. The devil won't be there. Did you know? Paul told the Corinthians that death is the enemy of mankind. Ain't nothing sweet about death. Death is an enemy. It was unintended for mankind, just like the angels. But hell has opened itself and wider to receive sinful man. And if you really want to see what it says, look it up in Revelation, and I'll show you this again. Watch this here. We'll just find it right now. We'll close with this. I'm in Google. Where is the Bible verse that says death and hell will be cast into the lake of fire? Somebody turn to Revelation chapter 20 and verse 14. Now, you know what? I've got more Bible study stuff. I got a, it's called the man cave, the biggest room in our house. All kinds of Bibles, translations, concordances. Kelly, read that verse.
Afterwards, death and its kingdom were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death.
Ain't going to be no more death. Ain't going to be no more hell. Why? Because there's no need for it anymore. There's something about what's about to happen to mankind that's either real good or it's real bad. Whether you're getting tossed in with Mr. Devil, or if you're going to be with Mr. God. The word says leave every person to work out their salvation with sobriety, with fear and trembling. That means take your life serious. Even when I wish I'd have known God when I was y'all's age. Honest to God, I do. Y'all, come on up, you four right there. And let's take a moment. Get ready to take communion. The word says let a person examine yourself. Examine yourself for a moment. We usually make the altar. I've got 4 minutes to get us out of here. I'm going to be close. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to take communion if you don't want to.